Podcasts out there in podcast land. I, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat, am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me. We have got a great show this week. I was curious to see what the roundtable discussion show would generate in the way of listener responses. And I was pleasantly surprised because I really, truly like doing those types of shows because, as I said, there's no set agenda. I just, if I want to talk about it, I talk about it. It takes a lot of my time and just frees it up because I'm not taking hours of notes on a certain subject. I know what I'm talking about on a certain subject, and I'll talk about it on the show. This past week, I have gone through all of the email responses that I received from my listeners, and overwhelmingly and resoundingly, everybody said, keep that idea for a show. Keep doing what you're doing. However you wanted to put it, everybody seemed to love the fact that it was just bullet point after bullet point. There was no, here's a segment, break, here's a segment, break, and then the end of the show. It was, here's a segment, here's a segment, here's a segment, break, and then we'll go talk about some other stuff, whatever we want to talk about. I feel I know my listeners really well after 4 or 5 years of doing a podcast that I know what my listeners like and what they don't like. I know a lot of my listeners like the paranormal, but I also know a lot of my listeners like the political side of things. So I'm kind of mixing them up. And that's what this week's show is going to be about. Of course, I'm going to talk about Iran because things are happening that I don't know, is it World War III? Is it the start of World War III? Or are we just in a cyber conflict? But there's something going on in Oregon that should scare any freedom-loving American. Plus, I've got stuff revolving around the moon, space. I've got stuff revolving around listener encounters that they've had that have been sent to me over the past couple weeks. I'm going to go over those with you. So I'm running a full gamut of topics on this show. It ranges from political to supernatural to paranormal to outer space to what in the world is going on the moon. It is going to be an exciting show. It is going to be a very informative show. So sit back, relax, open that mind, because when we come back, I, the Paranormal Patriot, will start the show talking about what is going on in Iran. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'm going to adjust that tinfoil hat here for a second. I will be right back.
Take a look to the skies.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is upon you. The latest single from Multiple Myself and Tommy B has been released to wherever you download or stream music to. In the Stars, featuring the Cosmic Dreamer, is the latest single from Multiple Myself and Tommy B. Journey Through the Cosmos, as Multiple Myself tells you about the birth of the universe, and then listen as Tommy B tells you about what your true purpose in life is. Wherever you download, stream, or listen to music from, you can find In the Stars featuring the Cosmic Dreamer. Brought to you by Multiple Myself and Tommy B. Download it, stream it, share it now.
September 21st and September 22nd, 2019, at the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The 18th annual festival that celebrates the legend known only as Mothman in downtown Point Pleasant, West Virginia. There will be live music, guest speakers, special appearances and events, festival food, a TNT area tour, a Mothman statue, Mothman hayride, you'll visit the Mothman Museum, and much more. This is the Mothman Festival. So be there September 21st and 22nd in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Alrighty, so things seem to be heating up in and around Iran. We know about the two shipping vessels that were torpedoed, apparently, the Norwegian and the Japanese freighters. Well, now Iran has shot down a U.S. drone. Now, that is a pretty defiant act. Now, the first question I have when I heard this news is, what are we going to do? President Trump came out and said, I halted the attack. I halted the attack 30 minutes before the attack was to happen because I asked a simple question, what is the loss of life projections? And the generals and the army and whoever was involved in this said, well, it looks like about 150 civilians. And President Trump said, nope, we're not going to do it. Now, great, all fine and dandy. However, I'm a little skeptical of that whole situation. The reason for that is you can't tell me that the army, the armed forces, the military in general did not brief President Trump on this prior to the launch being commenced. For him to say, yep, I stopped it. I'm the humanitarian. I don't want to see loss of life. To me, and look, I support President Trump, but listen, I'm going to call him out when I think he's wrong. And I think he's exaggerating and exacerbating the whole situation here because I can't see it happening as he said. He was briefed prior to this. Now, whether or not they decided half hour beforehand, let's not do this. Or when he heard about it, he said, nope, not going to do it. Or even if there was a military strike planned, I don't buy the fact that he said, no way, not going to happen on my watch. I'm not going to watch innocent civilians die. So Iran cautioned Saturday that it will firmly respond to any aggression or threat by the U.S. Now, this is a warning that comes after President Trump apparently aborted a military attack while a U.S. cyber team carried out a retaliatory digital strike against the regime. So we had a military strike planned that, if you want to believe the news, I'm skeptical on that, but if you want to believe it, President Trump in his infinite wisdom said, not going to happen. We're not going to kill innocent civilians. Fine. But in the meantime, we carried out a U.S. cyber attack. Now, for those of you who don't know, a cyber attack is a digital computerized attack. Now, the Iranian foreign minister spokesman, Abbas Mousavi, he reiterated the regime's position that it will confront any threats by the U.S. over the shooting down of an unmanned U.S. Navy drone by this Islamic Republic. Now, regardless of any decision they, which he means the U.S. officials, make, we will not allow any of Iran's borders to be violated. Iran will firmly confront any aggression or threat by America. Now, this is the military spokesman. The comments come in wake of heightened tension in the region that put Washington and Tehran on the brink of a war. Trump said Friday that he halted the strike just 10 minutes. Okay, this article says 10 minutes prior because of the projected casualty loss. Now, again, President Trump, you're doing a great job domestically and foreign. On foreign policy, but you can't tell me that our military briefed you 10 minutes before this strike was going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. I'm not a Washington insider, and I know that this does not happen that way. You are briefed well in advance. This is what we're going to do. This is how the attack is going to commence. This is the projected loss of life. So this is just President Trump doing what he does best, becoming a showman. He is on stage. This is what his presidency is. He is on stage. And listen, again, I don't care. I don't care that he's on stage. I care that he's lowered my taxes, got me more money in my pocket, and made me safer. That's all I care about. But again, I'm going to call him out when he needs to be called out. This is him being a showman, being the ringmaster at, I guess, the circus. I'm not a Washington insider, but again, I know, and according to my sources, everyone has told me he knew in advance what was going on. He just played it off, trying to make himself be the humanitarian, make him get his critics off his back. And with that being said, when I heard about this whole thing, I'm not going to say I didn't want to poke the bear, because I did want to poke the bear. I really did. So I kind of messaged all my liberal friends and said, hey, I hear Trump kind of called off a military strike in Iran because he wanted to save civilian lives. What do you think about that? And every single one of them came back to me, yep, leave it to Trump to screw this up. Can't even take care of business. They shot down a drone of ours, but we're not going to do anything. Literally, that was the crux of everything every liberal said. Now, these are the same liberals that when he was elected said, oh, this guy's going to send us a war. This guy's going to send us to nuclear war, World War III with Russia. So when he stops and he says, no, we're not going to do this, it's bad. But when he does something militarily, it's bad. Again, how is this guy winning? How can this guy win? So where are we now? There is video showing Iranian forces torpedoing these freighters, these cargo ships. Now, there's also video that I had a listener of mine say, hey, look at this video. This is coming from above. Tom, these freighters were hit by the U.S. The Norwegian and the Japanese freighters in the straits right outside of Iran, they were hit by a U.S. drone. This is a false flag incident. Listen, I don't know. I have not got confirmation either way. I don't have an answer to that. But I will tell you that Iran has shot down a U.S. drone. Now, they're legally, and I hate to support this terrorist regime, but they are legally able to shoot this down because that drone, that surveillance drone, was in their space. They don't want it there. That's a risk we have to take as an American, as the military risks sending these into hostile foreign territories. It got shot down. I'm almost to the point of saying, hey, you play the game and you lose, oh well. We got one of our drones shot down. Should we respond to that? Honestly, we were infiltrating their airspace. They weren't doing anything wrong. We were doing the wrong thing. We infiltrated their airspace. And listen, I don't want to sound like a tree-hugging, liberal, peace-loving, make-love-not-war type of guy, but listen, over the years I've grown, and I realize that there's more to war than we see. You know, war is our politicians or another country's politicians saying, I don't like those people over there. Let's send these citizens of ours over to fight for us. So we're fighting another person's battle. Now, in the case of World War II, maybe Vietnam, I would say it's a legitimate cause. It really is. You know, Hitler, if we didn't do anything, Hitler, we would be speaking German now in America. We had to do something. Desert Shield, Desert Storm, I'm not quite sure. You know, I used to get so mad at people that said, oh, we're just there for the oil. And honestly, I don't think we were there for the oil. Because if we were, we would have been shipping all their oil over to the U.S. and we weren't doing it. I think there's another more deep reason, and it has to do with, you know, central banks, and it has to do something with the New World Order. You know, these countries that we go into, Libya, Iraq, Syria, they have their own state banks that don't subscribe to the theory of a universal banking system, a new world order. So we go to these countries and quote-unquote liberate them, and then they become part of the conglomerate that is the new world order. Let's look at Iran. Do they have a central bank? Is that something that, you know, the United States and all the world good guys, quote unquote, is that something that they're trying to eliminate? I mean, you really got to look at this. They're sending our sons, our daughters, our husbands, our wives to fight for a cause that maybe we wouldn't really agree with if we knew the truth. Look at the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I remember, listen, I'm not proud of this, but I was so involved in it back then. In the early 90s, I took time off of work so I could stay home and listen and watch the evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and how Saddam Hussein had to go. And I was all for it. I bought it lock, stock, and barrel. I bit the bait. They set the hook, and I was like, oh, reel me in. I'm all for it. I'm a sheep. And it turns out there was nothing there. So, and you're going to get these people, and these people are on the right, left. Listen, I'm supporting you on the left on this one, okay? Give me credit. You're going to get people on the right that would say, hey, we had so many other countries telling us that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Okay. My question to you is, do all these other countries have the same interest and the same reason for getting rid of Saddam Hussein, to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi? I don't know. That's my thought. There's something else deeper going on why we go to war when there's really no reason to. We have no reason to go to war with Iran other than the fact, and this is a big fact, that courtesy of the previous administration, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, the front runner of the Democratic nomination for president of the United States in 2020, the front runner who has his hands all over the fact that the Obama-Biden administration literally handed billions and billions of dollars. Now, we know of a certain amount of billion dollars. What we don't know is the other billions and almost trillions of dollars that we handed over Iran. Nobody batted an eye. The media was praising this as a great diplomatic gesture. This is why Barack Obama is president. He is the great unifier. Really? Because all it did was give them a ton of money to develop their nuclear program. Joe Biden's hands are and were all over this. So now we've got to deal with an Iran that that has surface-to-air missiles that can take down one of our drones that has countermeasures to defend against that. But Iran now has measures to counteract the defense mechanisms of the drones. Where do you think they got the money for that? Thank you, President, ex-president, thank God, Obama and Joe Biden. Listen, Joe Biden is knee-deep in this, and it would behoove President Trump to call him out on this. Don't hold back. You know, we are at the precipice of war right now with Iran. And it's because of the Obama-Biden, quote-unquote, deal that sent them billions and billions of dollars of our money. I wouldn't have said send them money. We never got a choice in the matter. But Barack Obama, for some, you know, some, everybody has their reasons why they think he did it. It was a great diplomatic gesture. Then you've got the right saying, it's because he's an Arab. He wants to make America an Arab country, Sharia law all the way. Meanwhile, Iran is the country that is saying death to America in its parliamentary meetings. Their goal is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, Israel is our greatest ally in the Middle East. Think what you want about Israel. We are blessed to have Israel as an ally, honestly. We gave this country that wants to wipe Israel off the face of the map and says death to America. That's a way of life. They have conditioned their people to hate America. I don't hate Iranians. I really don't. And that is what we've given this money to. And it's all for the whole purpose of developing nuclear warheads. When Iran develops, if they haven't already, nuclear warheads, that changes the whole landscape of the Middle East. Israel, who has a number of nuclear warheads thanks to the United States, no longer has the upper hand. What do you do now? The whole way we deal with them changes. We can't just say, listen, you mess around, we're going to hit the red button and drop a couple nukes on you and turn your country into glass. Now, we can't do that because they'll say, okay, you want to do that? There you go. There's a couple missiles your way. There goes Los Angeles. There goes New York. There goes Chicago. This is what we're dealing with now. So the fact that we are dealing with Iran right now is pretty scary. Iran is kind of allies with Russia and China. And those are two pretty prominent militaries there that would give us a run for our money. So this isn't just something that we would say poo-poo on. Okay, it's just Iran. It's more than that. What I want to know is I want to know your opinion. Are we on the precipice of war with Iran, or is this just something that's going to blow over? My heart tells me it's going to blow over. I really don't think Trump is going to get us in a war with Iran. But the way it sounds is Iran is just itching. They're poking the bear. And you can only poke the bear so much before the bear says, all right, I've had enough. I'm going to smack your face off. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, if you love your freedom, then this segment of the show should scare the living daylights out of you. For those of my listeners in Oregon, if you're honestly supporting this, you should be ashamed of yourself. Oregon Governor Kate Brown has deployed the state police, and this just happened this past Thursday, that she has deployed the state police to try and round up Republican lawmakers who fled the Capitol to block a vote on a landmark economy-wide climate plan that would be the second of its kind in the nation. Now, in Oregon, this state is completely Democrat-controlled. The Republicans are in the minority. They want the minority Republicans. They want the cap-and-trade proposal, which is aimed at dramatically lowering the state's greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. I mean, we're talking 30 years from now. To be sent to the voters instead of being instituted by lawmakers. Now, That is, and listen, Democrats, that's how it's supposed to work. Here in Michigan, we had a gas tax hike. It was sent to the voters. The voters said, hell no, we don't want that gas tax. You've already taxed us on gas. Fix the roads with what you've taxed us on. And it failed miserably. So what did the lawmakers in Michigan, and listen, it's the Republican lawmakers in Michigan, what did they do? They just said, eh, no, the voters didn't know what they were talking about. We're going to impose that gas tax anyway. So you're completely contradicting how the whole system is supposed to go. This whole climate issue should be sent to the voters. The Democrats in Oregon, you need to send it to the voters. Let the voters decide. And listen, Oregon is a liberal bastion. It is probably going to go through without a problem. But at least send it to the voters. Let them deal with the consequences afterward. Look at California and all the liberal policies, the climate policies they've implemented. People are pissed. People are leaving California left and right because their taxes are through the roof. They can't do anything because all the climate policies that are in effect. Let the people of Oregon vote on this. Then decide to walk out. Now, in defense of the Democrats in Oregon, I don't agree with the Republicans not being there, walking out. I don't agree with it at all. You were elected to represent your people. If you, as a Republican, were voted in to be a voice of the people in your district, you need to be that voice. All these Republicans that walked out, you have your best interest in mind, your own interests in mind. If you don't like this policy, that's not up to you to decide. You were not put into office to decide on behalf of yourself. You were there. You were voted there to vote for the people in your district. Now, if the people in your district say, no, I don't want this climate policy, then you vote no. It's as simple as that. So I don't agree with the Republicans just walking out. But this is the scary part. The governor sent police officers to round up these Republicans and get them into the chamber to vote. Now, you can sit there and you can call Donald Trump a racist. You can call him a womanizer. And you might, the womanizer, yes, I'll agree. Racist, no. But you want to sit there and call Donald Trump a Nazi. Where is the word Nazi when Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, is involved? This policy she has, I'm sending the state police, we're rounding these people up and bringing them in. How is that not Nazi-esque? That is pure Hitler right there. But nobody wants to call her out. In fact, all the articles I read are praising Kate Brown, saying, yes, that's what they should do. Make these people vote. And listen, I agree with them. Every time you've been elected, every senator, every person that's been elected needs to vote, because that's what you were elected to do. You may vote against it. You may vote for it. But damn it, you better vote for what your people in your district that put you there want. You don't run. But with that being said, you don't bring the police into this. You don't round these people up. It's a scary. This is the epitome of a police state right here. I don't like what you're doing. I'm sending the police to get you. This is how the Gulag, the Soviet Union, started. This is a scary situation. For all my liberal listeners out there, you may think that this is a good idea. It's not. This is very, very scary. This is something that I would expect to see in a World War II history book, where Hitler rounded up all the dissidents and put them into a concentration camp. Because honestly, that's the next step. I can honestly see Kate Brown saying, you are in violation of the law. You're going to jail if you don't vote. I can see that. It's an easy progression. And she's got the media right behind her because the media is loving this. Hey, that's a great idea, Kate Brown. Maybe everybody else in the country should do that. It's a very, very scary situation that we are in right now. Oregon, Washington, they're beyond liberal. They are the AOC of the states. They are pro climate change. You know, we are completely controlling our climate, which is a joke. This is the same state that said, if you have a baby, we are sending state representatives to monitor you and evaluate you as a parent. And if we don't like how you're parenting, we're taking the kids away. They're taking parents' rights away. They're basically making these children wards of the state. And this is just, everybody's just like, okay, whatever. Because nobody thinks for themselves. Nobody says, wait a minute, that's wrong. That is not the way it works. These kids are mine. You have no right to my kids. No, but everybody just says, well, that's what the state thinks is best. I think that's what we should do. That is extremely, extremely scary. Because what's the next step? It's just going to perpetuate throughout the country. So our kids aren't going to be ours. If the government deems us not fit as a dissident, if you're a Republican in Oregon, a Republican voter in Oregon, you should be afraid right now. Because the next step is to round you up. What's the media going to say about that? The bigger question is, what's the country going to say about that? Yeah, you know, they were a dissident. They went against the government. They should probably be put in jail. It's the next step. I mean, honestly, history repeats itself if you let it. And we're letting it right now. We're letting this liberal media control our every thought. Not realizing that they're not in it for us. They're in it because they've got a stake. Because they know if socialism becomes the norm in this country, they're living high off the hog because they're just repeating state news. They're telling everybody, hey, socialism, it's great. You love it. Trust me, you love it. And they're just the darlings of the government. People like me, people like Rush, people like, I don't know, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, we're going to be put in jail because we're quote-unquote dissidents. That is why this is so important to me. This is why I have this on my show, because we are on a slippery slope right now. What is the next step? I can see the next step. Nazi Germany, prior to World War II, had everybody give up their guns, give up their weapons, and give the government control. Next thing you know, we have millions and millions of Jews being slaughtered in concentration camps, and nobody can figure out how this could have happened. This is how it happened right here. You take a little bit here, you take a little bit here, you take a big chunk there, and people just get used to the fact that they have no freedoms. And I know a lot of my listeners are saying, come on, Tom, you're overreacting on this, but I'm not overreacting. This is a very, very serious situation for a government to use the state police to round up the opposite party's members and force them into doing something that they don't deem feasible. To me, it's very Nazi Germany. But yeah, Trump's a Nazi, but whatever. But this is a very, very, very scary, very slippery slope we're running down right now. If we let this continue, what's next? You know, we're letting them monitor our children in Oregon. So if they don't think we are raising them correctly, raising them according to how the government thinks that we should be raising them. In other words, if we're raising them to be conservative, they don't like it, they can take our kids away. Tell me that's not state controlled. Tell me that's not a police state where you have no freedoms. You don't even own your kids anymore. You don't have your kids. The state owns them. The state will tell you how to raise your kids and what you can tell them, what you can preach to them, and what you can teach them. And if it goes against the state directive, you will have your kids taken away. So if you're a lawmaker in Oregon, you decide this climate deal is a total joke. It is going to bankrupt this state. And you decide not to go and vote, which, again, I understand it's wrong. You got to vote. But having the police sent out to round you up, that, my friends, is a very dangerous, dangerous situation we are in at this point. Now, as I was recording this, I had a feed or a little headline come across my news feed saying that the Oregon Senate was shut down due to a potential militia threat. Now, let me just give you a little background on the militia. Because right now, the militia, when you hear the word militia, think, what militia? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? A bunch of redneck hillbillies with guns that are out to wreak havoc across the country or across your state. The opposite, or that is so far from the truth, it's the direct opposite that is true. The militia. Michigan has a big militia membership. They are members of the militia. The militia is, they're not roaming gangs like the media want to portray them as. They are country-loving citizens that know the Constitution and realize that in the Constitution, and I want you to hear this, in Republican, Democrat alike, realize this. In the Constitution gives the civilians, the population, the right, the legal right to overthrow a government. Their government, if it is deemed tyrannical or too power hungry. And if there was, and I'm not even saying there was, this might just be a Democrat tactic to give them, oh, look at us, we're getting threatened by the quote-unquote gang militias out in Oregon. And if it was, well, so be it. And it goes back to the point of any type of legislation, in my opinion, and I know I echo this sentiment from a lot of people, needs to go before the voters. Listen, you can't tell me the lawmakers in Oregon don't know. They know for a fact that anything that we want to propose will go through and become law as long as we don't give it to the voters. Now, they may go through with it. It may pass with the voters, but they don't want to take that chance. So they're just going to say, we're going to put it through the House and the Senate. It's going to pass, and it's law. In the people of Oregon, they have no say in what happens. Now, if you don't like it, then move. It's as simple as that. And that's how this country's supposed to work. The government, the federal government, is not supposed to be involved in the laws of the state. The states make up their own laws. Michigan just recently, they recently voted in legalizing marijuana. If you are that opposed to it and you live in Michigan, your choice is to move to a state that doesn't support legalization of marijuana. If you're in Oregon and you don't like the fact that the government is going to come over and monitor your upbringing of your children, then you have to move. That's how it's supposed to work. When you have the federal government involved, then we have a problem. Because the federal government should not have anything to do with the state's rights and the state's laws. But the federal government has become so powerful and so bloated that that's the norm now. And people, this is what we accept. When you hear militia, I want you to change your thought pattern on this. Yes, they may have beards. And yes, they may have guns. They may be the what you call a redneck. But you know what? These militia members love this country, and they love the Constitution and the way that our founding fathers built this country. And think about it. What the founding fathers did, and I want to do a whole escapade, a whole show or two on this. The genius of what the founding fathers made in America. Because they knew, and they the reason they knew this is because they just got done dealing with a bloated, power-hungry government where the government controlled everything, and they said that's not going to happen again. So they put in to place measures to prevent that. And one of those measures was, look, if our government gets too big, too bloated, too power-hungry, and too tyrannical, you as a militia have the right to go overthrow that government and bring it back to the people. Because right now, our government, state and federal level, is not for the people. The government is for themselves, whatever benefits the party in charge. And that's why America is, quote-unquote, not what it once was. Give the power back to the people. When the people have the power, then, and only then, will America be great again. Now, in my opinion, Donald Trump is trying to give the power back to the people, but he's being bombarded and stopped, and it's ridiculous what this man has to go through. All he's trying to do is say liberal, Republican, white, black, Chinese, Mexican, if you're a citizen of this country, and I want to reiterate that, if you are a citizen of this country, this is not our country, meaning this is not Donald Trump's country, this is not the politician's country, this is your country. You run it and you vote on it how you want this country to be run. We have gone so far away from that. We have let the government control our policies. We've let the government control our freedoms. And it's about time it stops because, again, I've mentioned this numerous times, you get a little freedom taken away here, we now accept it. You get a little one here, the people that had that freedom and now it's taken away, they're going to bitch and moan. But eventually they're going to shut up. And the people that never had that freedom, like smoking in a bar or a restaurant or something like that, or getting in your car and driving without a seatbelt, they don't know any different. And that's how you condition the population is you just, you know, you're going to have some bumpy roads when it first gets approved and first implemented. But over time, it's a way of life. And then the next thing you know, the government is controlling your every move. And that's exactly what's happening in America right now. Let me know your thoughts. What do you think about the police being called to round up these Republican legislators? Is it a good thing to do? Is it the right thing to do? Or is it overstepping some legal bounds and some pretty moral bounds, in my opinion? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. We're going to take a quick break. I will be right back, and we're going to go over what's going on the moon. We're going to talk about a couple of listener encounters that I know you guys love to hear about. So sit back, relax, open that mind. This is your host of the Paranormal Patriot, Tom Velasquez. I'm adjusting my tinfoil hat because the paranormal is coming front and center. Stay with us as we hear what some of my listeners have recently encountered. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back. They are back for year two. Join me Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomena, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they have added a great new batch of vendors for this year. Everyone was so pleased with the location last year that they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room.
They have a fantastic restaurant inside, and the rooms, you'll agree, they are the best. Join me for another educational and refreshing event. Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Come join me for the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Hey everybody, this is Tom Balassis, host of the Paranormal Patriot. Now, if you like the Paranormal Patriot, I really truly think you will like the podcast Vanishing Gates, hosted by my friends Jay and Jack. Now, the Vanishing Gates podcast is a paranormal podcast, something that I wish I did more of, but politics always seems to get in the way. But if you like your paranormal on the easygoing, improvisation, you know, just fly by the seat of your pants type, it's great. Jay and Jack do a phenomenal job with guests. They do a phenomenal show, and I think you owe it to yourself to listen to Vanishing Gates. The Vanishing Gates podcast is always on Facebook Live. You can go to Podbean. They're on Podbean. Find Vanishing Gates and give Jay and Jack a listen. And when you do, tell them the Paranormal Patriot brought them to you. Hey everybody, this is Tom Balassis, the host of the Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Alrighty, it looks like due to time constraints, I'm going to have to cut out a segment of this show. So let's get into, I talked about earlier, I'd talk about the moon. We're going to do that next week because, again, I only have an hour to do this show. But I really want to do the listener encounters. A, because some of my listeners took the time to send me an email. But B, you guys seem to eat this stuff up and I want to give you what you want. So I've got a couple, and I mean two encounters, one from, I think it was Illinois, Indiana, Hidden Valley Lake in Indiana, where one of my listeners actually had an encounter with an upright canine that I really want to talk to you about. And then I want to talk to you about another encounter that happened to one of my new listeners. In this incident happened in the 1970s, but she's been listening to all my back episodes and she really got into the Mothman or Batman of Chicago, and she says, I had my own encounter, and she relayed it to me. So first off, let's get into the canine encounter. And this, again, happened in Hidden Valley Lake in Indiana. Now, this is, in my opinion, basically a Beast of Bray Road-type sighting, but it happened in southern Indiana, which is far from Bray Road in Wisconsin. But this listener, again, fairly new and has been listening to the show and wanted to send me their encounter. Now, how it started is my sighting happened between 1992 and 1995 because I only lived in the area during that time. My best guess that it was 1992 to 1993 because I was coming home late at night, which was around 1 to 2 a.m., without my then-fiancé. And she would have been with me after 1993. So we're assuming it was 92, early 93. But he says, the sighting happened on State Line Road, just off Route 50 in southern Indiana on the border with Ohio, right by Hidden Valley Lake. Now you can see, even 25 years later via Google Maps, that the area is still pretty wooded. Now I want to tell you that I had not been drinking. I wasn't on drugs at the time of this encounter. But I had just turned into State Line Road from Route 50, when I saw a large animal in the road. It looked like a huge dog hunched over roadkill. And as I neared it, I began to suspect it was one of my neighbor's dogs. He had two Irish wolfhounds. If you don't know, these are huge dogs that stand about 3 foot at the shoulders. I assume one of them had got out.
By this time, I was slowing down because the animal didn't seem aware of my car and I was about 30 yards away. Now, keep in mind, I thought at the time that this was one of my neighbor's dogs, so I was starting to plan how I was going to get a dog that big into my car so I could drive it home, and also was wondering if wolfhounds were typically dangerous to approach. I was also trying to figure out if I should wake the neighbors or just try to tie the dog up outside or something. As my mind raced through these thoughts, now this only happened in a few seconds, the animal finally turned and looked at my car. So I stopped the car completely. Now, its face looked more like the face of a police dog's car or police dog's face than a wolfhound, and that threw me. I remember wondering why my neighbor's dog looked so strange, and then the animal simply stood up on two legs and calmly walked off to the west and into the tall grass off the road. My mind at this point was trying to reconcile how this was my neighbor's wolfhound. I literally thought he had trained his dogs to walk on two legs, and he had never told us. Then it started to sink in. The shape of the head is wrong. The build of the dog was way too muscular, and it walked like a human, not like a dog you would see at the circus. My mind looped back to that, of course. It had walked off like a human on two legs, and its gaze had lingered on me as if its attitude was saying, I don't have time to move, you know. The fur was long and shaggy and gray, although in the darkness I could have misjudged the color. My mind was filled it in with color when I was expecting to see my neighbor's wolfhound. I watched it walk, still casually, until it was swallowed by the shallows and trees on the other side of the small field. I was terrified to drive the rest of the way home. I never mentioned it to anybody, but in the morning I asked my mom if the neighbor's dogs have got out, and when she asked why I wanted to know, I just said I thought I'd seen one out. But both dogs were accounted for, and neither I got out. Then about 10 years later, I heard Linda Godfrey on Coast to Coast talking about the Beast of Bray Road, and I was like, that's exactly what I saw. It was even the same time period as the original Beast or Bray Road flap. With that confirmation, I finally started to tell people about it to see if anyone had ever seen anything like it. And of course, nobody has. So that's my story. Now, Tom, are there any sightings of the Beast in southern Indiana or the Ohio state line that you would know? And that comes from GL. Now, GL, I have not a lot. There's not been a lot of sightings in that area. Most of them are in the Michigan, Wisconsin area. But there's always sightings of an upright canine. Now, we know that wolves, they can walk on their hind legs. They've been witnessed to do so. However, when they walk on their hind legs, in GL put it perfectly, they look like a circus dog. They're not... It's not comfortable for them, and it's not normal, so they don't walk like a normal human would on two legs. And according to GL, he watched this thing casually, just stood up on two legs, turned and walked to the west into the long grass, just casually walking away, as if it was a human with the upper half of a dog. Now, you can call it what you want. You can call it a shapeshifter. You can call it, a werewolf. But what do you think? Did GL see something? I don't doubt his veracity, his sincerity in the story. He was afraid to come forward. Then he saw something about it. Then he started asking people about it. And he understood that, hey, not everybody's going to see this. What do you think, Tom? Let's let GL know what you guys think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you think. Did GL see an actual upright canine, Beast of Bray Road, Dogman? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net and let me know. Now, the last one of the show this week. This is an older account from one of my listeners who just started listening to the show, but she has been listening to the Mothman or Batman shows that I produced that were just all over the place early last year, I think it was, or 2 years ago. But she sent me this email, and she said, it was a very hot, still night in the upper 90s, no winds, in the mid-1970s. My windows were full open, and I was sweating bullets. She said, I was laying on top of my sheets, twisting around, trying to find cooler spots on the bed, and I stuck my head as close to the screen in the window as I could, just praying for a breeze, or at least asking very strongly. I turn there, shuffle here, shuffle there, and I had been in bed with no relief for about 2 hours. Now, on the north wall of my room is the front door, and halfway to the corner, which is to the east, is another window, which a streetlight outside keeps my room from ever being dark unless there is a power outage. I'm just wishing I could get to sleep and for a good cool breeze. I think I feel the bed move. A minute or so goes by and my bed shakes harder. I pull my head away from part of the window and look down at the end of my bed, and there are three figures standing there. One tall male in the center and two small cowering things on each side of him right up against his legs. It kind of reminded me of the Ghost of Christmas Future portion of A Christmas Carol, but the two creatures were not a male or female in appearance, nor do they seem to have any clothes. They were just hunched over, crowding the center figure. The tall man looks to be very well-dressed, even though it's all black and dark. It almost looks like it's a formal suit that's being worn by him, but I can see no real features. I can't see any eyes, hairs, nose, mouth, and I can't remember if it had a hat or not. They never made any sound and seemed to move in unison and stayed at the end of my bed for maybe 3 minutes before moving a foot or so. They moved more in front of the other window. Now, shortly after that, like within 30 seconds, the two creatures at its feet moved away from it, and its formal clothes, or what I thought were formal clothes, unfurled out into wings that are connected to its arms, kind of like a bat, only more humanistic. I freaked. I didn't yell out for my parents. I pulled the sheets over my head and prayed to God to protect me and rid the house of whatever was in it. Now, thankfully, I did fall asleep shortly after I prayed for protection to God. Now, this one is a new one to me. I'm used to talking about the Batman of Chicago where people are out in the streets and they see a flying humanoid flying around screeching. I've never had an encounter sent to me where there's actually been one in the living room. And what are these two minion beings that are attached to it? I mean, some of us who are really into religion would say this is Satan and those were his minions. I don't know. Did the fact that she prayed to God for protection just make it go away? Was she dreaming? I don't know. She didn't leave a name. She didn't leave where she was coming from. But, I mean, imagine yourself tossing and turning, hot night, can't get to sleep. You're laying there, and all of a sudden you feel your bed move, and you're like, did my bed move? And all of a sudden it starts moving harder, and you turn your head away from the window that you're trying to get some cool air from, and you look, and there's a tall man standing in front of your bed with two cowering little minions below him, and then those minions move off to the side, and he raises his arms, and it's like Dracula. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Let me know what you think. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Hey, that'll be the show this week. Thank you for listening. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you want to hear about. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net for anything you want to talk about. I will be more than happy to talk about it. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. But since it's the end of the show, the hat is being taken off. Thank you for joining me this week. I appreciate everybody listening. Share the show. Talk about the show. Let's bring some more exposure to The Paranormal Patriot. So one more time, thank you for listening. I appreciate everything all of my listeners do to help promote the show, continue to promote the show. I will be back next week with who knows what I'm going to talk about, because it seems like every week breaking news in the world of politics and the paranormal takes precedence. You've been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This has been your host, Tom Velasquez, signing off. I will talk to you next week.